without charges being filed. After 18 hours of questioning over 3 days, Samuel Alito's finished testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee. On the third and final day of questioning, Alito was asked about right-to-die cases, presidential authority, affirmative action, and ethics. But the senators were not able to get any more out of him than they did before. When Senator Charles Schumer asked him about a proposal to deny citizenship to children of illegal immigrants, Alito said he would offer, quote, no hints and no previews, and he wouldn't be giving any opinions off the cuff. Schumer said Alito's decision to avoid answering their questions makes it hard to vote for him. Democrats have not yet ruled out a filibuster to try to block the Alito nomination. When it comes to the way it treats the homeless, the city of Sarasota, Florida, is being called the meanest in the country. The label comes from the National Coalition for the Homeless, based in Washington, D.C. The factors they use include the number of anti-homeless laws, enforcement of them, and the general political climate toward homeless people. Ranked second, Lawrence, Kansas, followed by Little Rock, Arkansas, which used to be ranked as the meanest. Other mean cities in their survey, Atlanta, Las Vegas, Dallas, and Houston, also San Juan, Puerto Rico, Santa Monica, California, and Flagstaff, Arizona. At least 345 people killed today in a stampede of religious pilgrims in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. Interior Ministry officials say dropped luggage was the catalyst for the deadly pileup among tens of thousands of pilgrims headed to cast stones at pillars representing the devil. Officials say the victims tripped over the belongings. At least 345 people died. Saudi officials have tried to ease the bottleneck at that site after deadly stampedes in the past. The U.S. military warning the final results of the elections last month in Iraq will lead to more violence there. A U.S. military spokesman says the recent attacks, which have killed at least 500 people since the election, show insurgents are trying to destabilize the process of forming a new government. At least 121 people died last week in suicide attacks against a Shiite shrine and a police recruiting center. This is Air America Radio News.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seeker. Welcome to the program. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a full house for you tonight. Three aces, two kings under the big top here. In the first ring on the left, if you look over there, please, we have Democratic candidate for Congress from the 28th District in California. That's near, where's that near, Kathy? Van Nuys, California? Charles Coleman. We'll be talking with him about half an hour. He is the debut act as we kick off a new segment on the Malloy Show we're calling Hope in a Hopeless World. Who is that? Hope in a Hopeless World. Periodically, we'll be spotlighting candidates, organizers, authors, and other activists that are working for positive change in America. We have a couple of guests next week as well. Who did Hope in a Hopeless World? Damn. Then in the far right ring, if you look way to your right, we have Ramblings from Rumsfeld, the master of death and war. Just to remind you how far we have moved in the past 5 years toward totalitarianism. And in the center ring, ladies and gentlemen, hiya, hiya, hiya! George W. Bush at a Louisville town hall meeting on the war on terror. Yeah, it's from yesterday, but it took us a while to work through the gibberish and come up with some sound for you. And of course, in any three-ring circus, there have to be clowns. There must be clowns. So we've got the a brief appearance as they tumble out of the little compact car. We've got the hilarious hijinks of the laughing senators, Chuck and Arlen, putting the jolly back in GOP at the Alito hearing today. Oh, it's so inside. It is such an in thing. You're going to feel like we intruded when we play it for you. Who did Hope in a Hopeless World? Yeah. Come on, Kathy. Who did that song? Because I don't want 87 people to email me the answer. So anyway, that's the program tonight, all right? Stick around. We have a couple of quick hitters here. Here in the Atlanta area, there's a private Christian... Yeah, we have some widespread panic. Thank you. A private Christian academy here is defending its right to expel a ninth grader, female student, female, for kissing another girl off campus. The place is called Covenant Christian Academy. It's in one of the suburbs of Atlanta, Loganville. And the academy's attorneys say the school has a constitutional right to expel students for what it refers to as sexual immorality. A kiss. Now, the school filed this statement in response to a lawsuit by the young girl and her father. She was expelled from the school last April. That prompted the father and the daughter to file the suit, which alleges a breach of privacy, invasion of privacy, and breach of contract. According to the lawsuit, Ms. Bradley attended a sleepover party off campus with several other female students April 22nd. At the party, she kissed another student, and at an earlier time, she had kissed a different female student. So the girl likes to kiss. Oh, well, Jesus, expel her. Shoot her. Kill her. 4 days later, Ms. Bradley and several other girls were called into the principal's office at the Covenant Christian Academy. After being questioned about her inappropriate relationship for more than an hour, Ms. Bradley, who has a 3.5 grade point average, was expelled. None of the other girls involved in the incident was expelled at the time, according to the lawyer for the Bradleys. School attorney said this lawsuit that the father and daughter have filed was frivolous and said that the private school's decision was protected by the First Amendment. You see, the school cited a defense called ecclesiastical abstention. Ecclesiastical abstention, which prohibits courts from interfering in the internal policies of a church. Oh, really? So if I form a church and want to burn people at the stake, courts can, and the attorney for the Bradley family said that defense is, you know, horse hockey. He said the First Amendment gives churches the absolute right to believe what they wish. It does not give them the absolute right to act how they wish to act. A kiss. A kiss is still a kiss. You must remember this. Now, for a whiplash segue, this is from Tennessee, Brentwood, Tennessee. This was in the Tennessean, Nashville, Tennessean, yesterday. A Brentwood, Tennessee man was arrested and on charges of raping and sexually abusing two of his children over the course of 5 years. The two children, boys ages 12 and 16, have been removed from the home, according to police. Grand jury returned a 10-count indictment, charging the defendant with 8 counts of rape of a child and 1 count of aggravated sexual battery. That's according to the District Attorney General, Ron Davis. The charges stem from incidents that allegedly occurred between September 2000 and December 2005. The defendant, who is married, has 4 other children, 2 of whom are adults. Allegations of rape and abuse were brought forth by one of the boys, police said. On a mid-December day, a Brentwood patrol officer was called to the family's home to help resolve a domestic issue. One of the boys told the officer that he and his brother had been abused. The suspect is in the Christian book publishing industry, according to police and numerous websites. Marita Litauer, president of a New Mexico-based company which coordinates Christian writers' conferences, said she knew the defendant on a professional level. Ms. Litauer said, "I seriously question the charges. I cannot believe they're accurate." He is being held in the Williamson County Jail in lieu of posting a $500,000 bond. God. Another tragic first here for the Bush administration. This was sent in to us by Scott in Boise, Idaho. This is from WBAI, one of the Pacifica stations in New York. It was broadcast on Monday the 9th, which would have been what, Kathy? This past Monday, right? Yeah. James Sedroga, a 34-year-old New York City police officer, became the first emergency responder to die from respiratory disease as a result of exposure to dust and debris generated during the collapse of the World Trade Center on 9/11. Ocean County, New Jersey medical examiner said he was suffering from black lung disease and mercury on the brain. In the first month after the collapse, James Sedroga spent 479 hours at the site searching for victims, frequently up to 16 hours a day. He was forced to retire in 2004 when he was 32 years old due to shortness of breath and deteriorating health. Health organizations report that the majority of 9/11 rescue workers are experiencing worsening respiratory diseases and other health problems. Now remember what Bush had the EPA do. Bush had the EPA declare that Lower Manhattan immediately after the attack was safe as far as air quality, no matter where you were. It was okay for the rescue operators and the search and recovery people to be there. Everything was okay. And some of you wonder why I call him a killer. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola!
Talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
I'm gonna leave the city, got to get away. All this fussing and fighting, man, you know I...
21 past the hour, Charles Coleman Jr. Will be our guest here in about 15-20 minutes. If you want to go to his website, go ahead. This is part of what we're doing here, offering airtime to Democratic candidates for political office who appear to be real Democrats. He is up against a guy named Berman, who I guess has been California's representative in the 28th for a considerable amount of time. But if you want to check this guy's website, ccolemanjr.com, ccoleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N-J-R, ccolemanjr.com, ccolemanjr.com. He'll be on with us here in a few minutes. Last night we mentioned John Ashcroft has put together, has totally cheapened and wiped his hiney on the Office of Attorney General of the United States. He is now a lobbyist. In one instance, being Oracle, lobbying in favor of the very company that he tried to sue a couple of years ago. His lobbying efforts on behalf of Oracle were astonishing. Just a couple of weeks after he signed up Oracle, the Justice Department decided not to investigate an antitrust case that they were taking a look at regarding Oracle. And the Justice Department said the hiring of Ashcroft had nothing to do with their decision. It was based on something. But now it turns out he's making some pretty good money here. According to the Chicago Tribune, less than 3 months after registering as a lobbyist, Ashcroft has banked at least $269,000 from just four clients and appears to be developing a practice centered on companies that want to capitalize on a government demand for Homeland Security technology. Of course, that boomed under the controversial policies he promoted while he was Attorney General, right? See how this works, Truth Seeker? Three clients of Ashcroft's lobbying firm want his help in selling data or software with Homeland Security applications, according to government filings. This is ChoicePoint, that horrendous organization based here in Atlanta that made sure that the roles of registered voters in Florida were purged, that people had no business being purged, in order to screw things up in Florida back in 2000. Nice company. A fourth company is Israel Aircraft Industries International. Israel Aircraft Industries International. Ashcroft represents them. They are competing against an American company, Chicago's Boeing company. Yeah, Boeing. The deal at hand here is to sell the government of South Korea a billion-dollar airborne radar system. So there's two companies. One is Israel Aircraft Industries International. The other one is Boeing. And Ashcroft immediately goes to work against the American company. They have a name for that, don't they? So the competition here is between Boeing, based now in Chicago, and Israel Aircraft Industries International, which I would imagine is based in, oh, where? Israel, maybe? Now, with Ashcroft doing this, here's the part that's kind of astonishing on the surface until you think about what a piece of human waste Ashcroft really is. But here it is. Ashcroft's lobbying is a departure from the practice of attorneys general for at least the last 30 years. You don't do this. Other attorneys general have maybe gone to work as a counseling corporate clients or perhaps even lobbying in a specific case as part of a law firm. But Ashcroft, the Crisco kid, this degenerate bastard is the first in recent memory, first former attorney general to open up a lobbying firm. And his first clients are one that he almost sued, one that helped screw the elections in Florida, and one that represents a foreign manufacturer against an American manufacturer to sell war material to the South Koreans. Nice, huh? You would think that a former attorney general wouldn't be doing that. You know, to take the prestige and stature of the office of the attorney general and wipe his hiney on it. Boy, talk about 30 pieces of silver. Ashcroft, you're a pig. You are such a pig. Hell is waiting for you, pal. The Ashcroft Group reported payments of $15,000 from Choice Point and $20,000 from Israel Aircraft Industries. Oh, well. Business as usual. This is the Bush crime family. Why do I act surprised, right? Stay with us. We'll be talking with Charles Coleman, Jr. when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, it actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a T-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you. They don't.
After using Skin Zinc, it's completely cleared up. Skin Zinc is phenomenal.
I tried Skin Zinc, and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call right now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-507-5896. That's 800-507-5896. Skin Zinc helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5896. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5896.
Hey, I just finished our taxes with TurboTax.
Shouldn't we have gone to one of those tax stores?
Well, TurboTax asks me questions just like H&R Block does, and then it puts the answers in all the right forms.
But the tax guy checks it.
TurboTax checks for errors and missed deductions, too.
How do we know it's right?
Calculations are guaranteed accurate. Besides, more returns were prepared with TurboTax last year than at all the H&R Block stores combined.
Huh. If it's so good, how much are we getting back?
Take a look.
Wow.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
26 before the hour. In response to a couple of emails, no, it's hope in a hopeless world, widespread panic, not lost in a lost world. Mike Pender, Moody Blues. Hope in a hopeless world. As promised, our first participant in this new segment is Charles Coleman, Jr. He's a Democratic candidate for Congress in California's 28th District. May I call you Charles? Is he there, Charles?
Sure, Mike. May I call you Mike?
No, you have to call me Mr. Malloy, sir. No, just kidding.
Okay.
No, you call me Mike. How you doing, Charles?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. How about yourself?
As well as can be expected. The purpose of what we're doing here, Charles, I don't know if you know this, but we are going to be picking candidates around the country. I don't know if other talk show hosts on Air America will be doing the same. I think they may have the last election cycle. And highlighting those candidates who have what, in my case, what I consider to be an agenda that reflects the Democratic Party, the real Democratic Party, not the Democratic Leadership Conference, not the way the Democratic Party became a safe place for white people in the South, but the real Democratic Party. And in looking at your website and looking at some of the things you've said, you certainly appear to be that person where it concerns the 28th in California.
I believe I am, and I believe that that's what's missing in this particular area, because the person that I'm running against, Howard Berman, on the biggest issue of our time, he has voted yes, on Iraq policy, just like Tom DeLay, Dan Burton, and Henry Hyde, and we need a change in that direction.
I notice he's voted for the authorization to go into Iraq. He voted yes on each supplemental funding bill.
Yes.
And he's also voted, along with 220 House members, most of whom I'm sure were Republicans, saying we need to stay until victory is achieved in Iraq.
Exactly.
And this guy's a Democrat?
Shocking as it is, he's been an 11-term Democrat, and he gets $1 million in financing every year, and he thinks he can just keep his job by keeping wealthy contributors happy. And we just need to inform the people of our district what he really stands for and make a change.
Now, I don't want to focus on him. I want to get to you, but I want to say one last thing here. I went to Mr. Berman's website, and he has a search engine, and I typed in the word Iraq and hit search, and nothing.
Right.
Nothing came up whatsoever.
Right, and that's just amazing, and the biggest issue of our time, and as Democrats, that's an issue that we have to talk about first and foremost. And there's a lot of issues we care about, healthcare, education, civil rights, but we're in a budget crunch, and until we get out of Iraq, the billions that we're spending there need to be spent here in programs that help the American people here.
Now, am I right in assuming you're an accountant and also a school teacher?
No, I got a business major from USC.
Right.
And I did pass the CPA exam, but then I went in a total change of direction. I started doing some substitute teaching, and I fell in love with the profession and stayed in teaching.
So you are now, and I believe you also teach special ed classes in Los Angeles County?
No.
I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. Now, we have a lot of special ed students at Juvenile Hall. But,
I see.
That's what I've been doing for the past 11-plus years.
I see. Okay. What are the first of all I was going to say with no equivocation, but I don't think you do that. What is your position on the United States involvement right now in Iraq? What should we do?
First, I think what we need to do is have people in Congress that will vote no on any supplemental funding bill, because it doesn't support the troops. What it does is just extend the war. That's something that we need to have. And beyond that, I am in favor of U.S. and British troop withdrawal by 90 days, a plan supported by Congressman Kucinich.
So essentially an immediate withdrawal.
Yes.
Yes, okay. All right, that certainly is clear. Let's move on, because there's no telling what the situation in Iraq will change into without U.S. Military or British military there. I would assume, since the U.S. and the U.K. have so thoroughly smashed this country into a million pieces over the past 12 years, that there will be a sorting out of these different factions. And they will wind up probably with the Islamic Republic of Iraq, thanks to George Bush.
Right.
But it is true that, and I agree with you, is what I'm trying to say, that an immediate withdrawal, as soon as we can, an orderly withdrawal, or as John Murtha said, a redeployment of pulling troops out and allowing the Iraqis to once again assume responsibility for their own country. I certainly agree with you there. What about these issues of the usual raft of issues that Americans have to deal with, Charles, whether it's education? Let's start with education. Since you live in California, and education is one of your professional.
Yes.
What am I trying to say? One of your professions.
My profession.
Right.
My career.
Yes. There you go. Your position on education. Not where it concerns your district.
I'm in the 28th district, which is a little bit northwest of LA.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, you know, we're in a district. For the past couple of decades, we've had a lot of problems with overcrowded schools, overcrowded classrooms, problems with gangs and drugs and violence on campuses. And I think that that's something we need to address. And particularly where I work at a juvenile hall, I think it's so critical that we do a better job at reaching our kids while they're extremely young and keeping them at grade level and making sure that they have a chance that when they move up, that they stay at grade level in reading and in math.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to do a better job, in particular, I think, with after-school programs.
Healthcare and the environment. I think education, healthcare, the environment are 2, 3, and 4 after getting us out of Iraq in areas of critical that just need critical attention because this Bush administration has so thoroughly corrupted and ruined these areas.
Well, that's true, and I think another thing that we ought to do in conjunction with getting our troops out of Iraq, we need to put a lot of pressure, I believe, on the Bush administration. We need to investigate what they did prior to the invasion. And if there is proof that they lied, and I think we all know that there's a lot of it out there, then we ought to move immediately toward impeachment.
Oh, I agree. Now, you're talking with the Democratic majority in the U.S. House.
I hope it's the Democratic majority. Now, the person I'm running against, Howard Berman, I called his office today, and they couldn't give me an answer one way or another whether or not the president should be investigated. And I think that that's outrageous.
I'm so sick of Democrats like that, I could just gouge my own eyes out.
Well, don't do that.
No, I'm just kidding, Charles. It just gets so frustrating. Your position then on health care, are you in favor of the so-called single-payer system, kind of a model that other...
Yes, I am. I believe it's a shame when 45 million, over 45 million Americans don't have health care, and that at least 7 million in California, and that we're the only NATO country that doesn't provide health care for all of its citizens. I think that's a shame, and that's something that we have to work for in Congress.
In your mission statement at your website, you say, one thing I can assure you is that they won't control me because I will never accept campaign contributions from a special interest group or corporation. Now, when you say special interest group, in my mind, that immediately brings up the bad guys, but there are some special interest groups on the good side of the ledger that would be more than happy to support your candidacy. How do you deal with those special interest groups that you and I and most Democrats most real Democrats would consider to be a force for positive change? How do you handle those groups?
I believe we have to handle it in the same way. I think you have to come up with some criteria that will apply to everyone. That way you don't try to sort out who's who, and you just have to have the approach that. You know, nobody's going to be just because people are used to entitled to sitting at a dinner with somebody, paying a lot of money, and getting a special ear or a special favor. I think that's got to be stopped.
Are you a wealthy man?
No, I'm a middle class guy. You know, I do make a comfortable living, but no.
How is your campaign being financed?
Well, one of the things that I'm doing is my house is up for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not I still have money, even if my house did not sell, I have enough money to run, I think, a pretty decent grassroots campaign, but I think that certainly will help.
Do you
accept... It's something that, even if I weren't doing this campaign, I think it's something, because of the market conditions, I would, my wife and I would be doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that will ease the burden as far as campaign money worries.
Will you be taking, or do you take contributions then from individuals?
Yes. I will be doing that. Now, I haven't done that yet. I haven't done that yet, but I will be, now the rules state that for individuals it's something like $2,000 per person.
Mm-hmm.
I think for myself, $1,000 would be a limit.
So you're setting, voluntarily setting $1,000 limit on contributions?
Yes.
Okay. Where it concerns, and I think this is critical to the 28th in California, environmental issues. Here in Atlanta, which is where I'm talking to you from, we have a huge farmers market. We get an awful lot of produce from California. And up until a couple of years ago, I was real content just to buy the stuff that came in. Now I buy organic because I understand what is happening with the irrigation systems in the valley that have been so utterly polluted with, dear God, rocket fuel.
Right.
So where it concerns environmental issues, I'm assuming, Van, is Van Nuys in the valley? Do you live in the San Fernando Valley? Or
I live in the San Fernando Valley. Now, Van Nuys, there's no farmland in Van Nuys.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I mean as far as California agriculture, which is one of the major state exports, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So I think along the lines of what you're talking about, I think that's something that each of us should be very conscientious of. And I think that's what we do have to bring to the table when we approach the environment is just a common sense, conscientious approach where we look at the long-term effects of whatever we do.
Well, from that, then I would assume that you believe in strong government regulatory agencies where it concerns health and welfare of people in this country, kind of a check on capitalism that's necessary to stop it from becoming predatory capitalism.
Yes. Yes, I would favor that because, absent that, I think we're taking a risk with polluting our products and our groundwater. And, you take the energy bill, for instance, that this is something the Republicans would like to pass, and they have that element that they want to include in it, MTBE, and which is something that would pose a great danger to our groundwater, and that's something that should be just unacceptable.
All right, I
need alternative fuels, but not at the expense of our quality of life.
I hear you. I gave your website address earlier before you came on, Charles. It's ccolemanjr.com, ccolemanjr.com.
Right.
And we'll give it again.
One thing, if I may note.
Yes.
That will always get people there because I've given this information out to people a month ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I've made a change just for simplicity for people, colemanforcongress.com.
That's a good one. ColemanForCongress.com. That'll take
right.
you there, too. Okay, good.
Yes.
I wish you the best, Charles, and I hope that we'll have further conversations as you get closer to the election cycle. So stay in touch with our producer, Kathy Bay.
I sure will. And thanks so much, Michael, for giving me the opportunity to present myself.
Absolutely, sir. I wish you the best, and I want to talk with you again. Take care, all right?
You too, Mike. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye now.
Charles Coleman, Jr., check out his website. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coracetin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coracetin HBP. Use as directed.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Lullaby. It's Mike Malone.
It's about six before the hour. We're getting to the point in the program where we're going to be talking about the Alito hearings that ended today. And in reading some of my email today, it seems like most of the people who have sent emails to me have kind of resigned themselves to the fact that the Democrats and the so-called moderate Republicans, like Olympia Snow, have come to a conclusion that Sam Alito is going to be the next U.S. Supreme Court Justice. The Democrats on the Judiciary Committee, Senate Judiciary Committee, I'm not sure which ones are. Maybe it's in our notes here. But a couple of them have said, I think Feinstein was one and Biden was the other. Yeah, I think those are the two, Biden and Feinstein, that there really is no reason to filibuster Alito's nomination. There really is no reason for the Democrats to filibuster. This is astonishing. And, well, not really. I mean, you know my feelings about these kinds of Democrats. They're pimps. They're just disgusting. They really are. They're just disgusting. Just absolutely disgusting. Here's a guy who has a 15-year-long record. A 15-year-long record. And views that consistently, as the nation says, consistently challenge decades of progress on privacy, civil rights, and control exercised by corporations in America. And never in memory has a single nomination so threatened to redirect the court as Samuel Alito's nomination. And Joe Biden and Dianne Feinstein are on the record now saying, well, there's no reason to filibuster this guy. Come on, everybody, sit down. There's nothing to see here. Come on, 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 come on. There may still be an opportunity to inspire enough members of the Senate Democratic Caucus to launch a filibuster. The phone calls and the faxes, I think, are absolutely necessary to these people over the weekend, because the hearings are over. That's it. It's all finished. And as a couple of commentators have suggested, what's the point in holding hearings to begin with? The nominees do not answer questions. Absolutely. I defy you to tell me where Alito stands on an issue that you didn't already know, based on his record. You knew where he stood. And even on the things that he has worked to promote and uphold over the past 15 years, he wouldn't even comment on that. So no answers are forthcoming from these candidates. And the questioners, it's like a huge, I can't say it on the air, but a bunch of guys sitting around in a circle. And nothing, absolutely nothing happens. We'll talk about it a little more when we come back after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets, loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
Tina, your face is all red. Are you okay?
I'm fine. It's just hot in here.
Hot? We're in the freezer aisle, Tina. You're having a hot flash.
Hot flash? Menopause? But I'm still getting my period.
It's not menopause yet, but it could be changing hormones. When I got my first flash, my pharmacist told me to start taking Estroven. Estroven is all natural and can help reduce hot flashes, night sweats, and irritability.
I'm not irritable.
Right. And you don't need a prescription. It's in the vitamin aisle.
Let's go get Estroven now.
Hot flashes? It's just your body telling you it's time for Estroven. Use as directed.
Thank you.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley, the nightmare of real ID. A top Pennsylvania state transportation official says it's, quote, just flat out impossible to meet a federal deadline to roll out standard driver's licenses around the country. The Real ID Act requires the 50 states to have coordinated licensing rules and to link their record-keeping systems to national databases by the year 2008. A survey shows the 50 states may not be able to meet that deadline. Nebraska's motor vehicle director says her state may need a complete reorganization to comply. The law was motivated by 9/11. It's intended to make it harder to fraudulently get an ID, like some of the hijackers did. The August survey by the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators has not been made public. Meanwhile, accusations of racism in the Georgia State House over ID cards. Georgia lawmakers have voted to give photo ID cards to poor people in the state at no charge, but only after 4 hours of heated debate. One state representative, Democrat Alicia Morgan, said she believes some of the members who supported an ID requirement for voting are racist. Under a law passed last year, residents in Georgia have to show photo IDs at the voting polls. Opponents argued those without a driver's license have to pay as much as $35 for a Georgia state-issued ID, and they say that that amounts to an unconstitutional poll tax before they can vote. A federal judge then blocked the law from taking effect until the ID fees could be resolved. Now they have been in the State House, and the measure goes on to the Georgia State Senate. The Reverend Pat Robertson has apologized for suggesting Ariel Sharon's stroke was God's punishment for giving up Gaza. The founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network said last week in the 700 Club that the Israeli leader had divided God's land, even though the Bible says doing so invites what he called God's enmity. Well, now Robertson says he's sorry, and in a letter to the Israeli Prime Minister's son, Robertson asks for his forgiveness and the forgiveness of the Israeli people. Robertson says he now realizes his remarks were what he called inappropriate and insensitive. Robertson adds he's praying for Sharon's full recovery. The doctors are saying today's scan of Ariel Sharon's brain shows all the blood remnants from last week's stroke have been absorbed. A hospital statement says doctors responded by removing a tube they had installed in Sharon's skull to relieve pressure. Sharon's medical team is still facing more questions. They are confirming a newspaper report that Sharon has a brain disease that weakens the blood vessels and increases the risk of hemorrhage, and they're defending a decision to prescribe blood thinners, a decision some believe may have contributed to last week's stroke. This is Air America Radio News.
7 past the hour. So it looks like it's a done deal with Sammy the Goose Alito. And as far as Feinstein's, the quote I heard today about Feinstein and Biden, no point to filibuster this nominee. One of our listeners, Celia, in the, I believe in San Francisco, writes, Mike, you may know that Dianne Feinstein's husband has a business office in San Francisco that does big business with the Bush administration, getting big Iraq defense contracts. The progressives in San Francisco are trying to run a candidate against her, I think, this fall. If she doesn't vote for a filibuster, that may tip the scale against her in San Francisco and maybe the rest of California. Feinstein has been a stealth Republican all her time in the Senate, except for women's rights, which got her into that office in the first place. Yeah, I just, God, I can't stand these kinds of Democrats. Can you? And Lewis writes, Mike Biden doesn't want to filibuster Alito because he's afraid that when he's elected president, the Republicans would do the same to him. Earth to Joe. You're not going to be president ever! Lewis says, I have a better chance of becoming president. I'm not even running. Yeah, I know. The ego on some of these people is just, I don't know, it's like, oh, never mind. Anyway, editorial, lead editorial in the January 23rd issue of The Nation, the case against Alito, as they point out, never in memory has a single nomination, Alito, so threatened to redirect the court as has Alito's. They go on to say, as an ambitious Reagan administration lawyer, he boasted in a now famous 1985 job application of his conviction that Roe v. Wade should be overturned. He opposed the historic one-person, one-vote decision of the Warren Court. Oh, my God. What does he want? Every third person can vote? And waived, like a badge of honor, his membership in a far-right Princeton alumni network notorious for its hostility to admitting women and African-Americans into the school, not into the organization. Alito's defense of Nixon-era officials implicated in illegal wiretaps makes clear, in light of today's NSA wiretap scandal, that the Bush administration motives in Alito's nomination extend well beyond a token nod to social conservatives. Yeah, and this is what we were talking about the other night. Harriet Myers was nothing. You know, they just said to Harriet, hey, come here, sweetheart. Sit on Daddy's lap for a minute. Okay. You know, George, play with her knee garters or something and you know, snap her bra or whatever it takes to. I'm not trying to denigrate Harriet. I'm just going by her own words. You know, she, I'm not saying she did for George what Monica did for Bill, but my God, you read some of those mash notes. They were all over the place. Oh, George, you make my liver quiver. You know, that kind of horse crap. So they probably said to her, look, sweetie, here's how it's going to work. You're going to get out there. Guess what? Your name's going to go in the history books as a nominee. You're really not. But, you know, and then they're going to run Alito in. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that was the plan. And it worked. Worked wonderfully, didn't it? Huh? Huh? The Nation goes on to say, a new study by the Alliance for Justice points out that in the so-called split decisions, the most difficult cases which divided the appeals court that Alito has sat on, which is the third, fourth, court of fourth, I'm not sure which one, but it doesn't matter. A new study said that Alito has frequently gone to the right of even his Republican-appointed colleagues to find against individuals claiming that government officials or corporations violated the law. Yeah, this guy is an absolute suck up to power. I'm sorry. I know you get tired of hearing me saying it. He's a fascist by any definition. And unitary, what is this thing you're talking about? Unitary executive, unitary government, you know, that's a non-explosive word for dictator. That's all it is. He has argued strenuously in favor of the strip search of a 10-year-old girl not accused of criminal wrongdoing. He has supported warrantless surveillance of a criminal suspect when other courts had disallowed the practice. And he tried to strip his fellow judges of the power to grant habeas corpus rights to undocumented immigrants, a position pointedly repudiated by the Supreme Court. And as the Nation says, this is big government jurisprudence with a vengeance. The only exception to Alito's big government activism comes with the regulation of business. There, he seems to be a one-man crusade to undo decades of regulation. This guy is so bad. This guy is so bad. This Sammy the Goose is so bad. And the Nation concludes by saying the American people are not ready for a nominee so profoundly committed to intrusive government. Whether that means right-to-lifers intruding on sexual privacy, religious fanatics intruding in the science classroom, or the National Security Agency intruding on phone calls without a warrant. Far from being a mainstream conservative, Judge Alito represents a malignant future. Malignant future. His entire biography suggests he will swing the Supreme Court toward a right-wing authoritarianism. Yes. But for the boys in Congress, it's kind of all fun and games. Phil Spector, I always want to say Phil Spector, you know. Senator Spector and Senator Charles Grassley, Arlen and Charles, today. The Kings of Comedy, I want you to hear this. Start the music. Keep it kind of low. Boy, those Republicans sure are having a jolly old time fulfilling their constitutional obligation to advise and consent on a freaking Supreme Court justice appointee for life. Joe Biden, shameless prancing about, looks rational by comparison. The hilarity begins with Senator Spector asking Grassley to tell his Anita Hill story. Yeah, because that little perversion of justice in Supreme Court history is so darned amusing.
And when Americans learn to speak a language.
No, that's, here, where's the music? The music in there somewhere. There it is!
Are we up there?
Senator Spector and Senator Grassley we're talking about here.
Me here at last on the ground.
Tell your Anita Hill story, Chuck.
Just to show you how they get mixed up, you know, he asked the questions of Anita Hill, and I was sitting behind him, or beside him very quietly, because only two Republicans were going to ask questions. And I went back to my constituency, and everybody said to me, you were awful to Anita Hill. You just treated her awful. Because they got me mixed up with
her. I didn't know you... I didn't know you were going to tell that part of the prepared.
I thought that's the only part we've talked about.
Yeah, Jeff, we're just trying to use a little time over here to give you just a little respite from the...
Alan, fortunately, none of this is on television, so nobody knows what we're saying.
Opening doors, finally finding the one that I wanted was yours. Making my entrance again with my usual flair, sure of my line.
So listen, come back tomorrow, folks. We'll be here all week. The 10 o'clock show is different from the 7:30. Do stop by. I'm Chuck. I'm Arlen. We are the Dumbass Twins with a little help from Leahy. That was Senator Leahy on the bottom there saying, fortunately, none of this is on television, so nobody knows what we're saying here on this story. Oh, Patrick, you dumb bastard. What do you think that big thing is sitting in the back of the hearing room? That's not a refrigerator. That's a camera! And wasn't Anita Hill just a real knee-slapping episode in the history of Senate Judiciary Committee hearings to confirm or deny somebody a seat? Oh, Anita Hill, wasn't she fun? And wasn't that great there for just a couple of days? My God, we had a black woman going after a black man. Son of a bitch, you don't see that very often, do you? It was a real knee slapper, wasn't it, boys? Huh? It was just an absolute... Play it again, without the music. It starts out with Spector. Play it again. It's just... all right, we'll play it when we come back. But it's just disgusting. It's disgusting. These bastards are just disgusting.
Sure of my lines. Nobody's there. Don't you love the farce?
Oh, yeah, always have. Yeah.
My fault, I fear.
Really?
I thought that you'd want what I want, Sorry, my dear.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard. Now available in three sizes at Brooks Pharmacy, Eckerd Pharmacy, and other fine stores.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricetin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricetin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricetin HBP. Use as directed.
Day streaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. Now, Vicky sent me an email here. with a quote from Arlen Specter's book, 2000 book. The title of the book was Passion for Truth. The Senate Judiciary Committee chairman now. He wasn't in 2000, but he is now. And here's what he wrote. This is the quote that Vicki sent me. Quote, the Senate should resist, if not refuse, to confirm Supreme Court nominees who refuse to answer questions on fundamental issues. In voting on whether or not to confirm a nominee, senators should not have to gamble or guess about a candidate's philosophy, but should be able to judge on the basis of the candidate's expressed views. You hypocritical bastards. Oh, you Republicans. Oh, my God, I hate you. Oh, my God. Now, let's go back to the kings of comedy here. Specter and Grassley with an end of the bit appearance by Patrick Leahy. But now this is, you know, this important stuff. See, they're quizzing. They're very serious about quizzing Alito, too. Nobody's following any scripts. Everybody's, you know, really interested in providing what the Constitution demands, advice and consent on some of these critical appointments or nominations by the President of the United States. So, Specter and Chuck, Arlen, Arlie, as his friends call him, and Chuck, Chucky, as his friends call him, and then Pat joins in at the bottom here, but starts out with Arlie talking to Chucky.
That's tell your Anita Hill story, Chuck.
Just to show you how they get mixed up, you know, he asked the questions of Anita Hill, and I was sitting behind him, or beside him very quietly, because only two Republicans were going to ask questions. And I went back to my constituency, and everybody said to me, you were awful to Anita Hill. You just treated her awful. Because they got me mixed up with.
I didn't know you. I didn't know you were going to tell that part of the story.
That's the only part we've talked about.
Yeah, we're just trying to use a little time over here to give you just a little respite from the.
Alan, fortunately, none of this is on television, so nobody knows what we're saying.
Now, you have to assume that Leahy was being ironic or sarcastic there at the end because, it was all on television. It was even on CNN, right? Oh, and by the way, if you really, really, really want to get some television on your computer that is unlike anything you're going to find on cable, the satellite, I don't care, you've got to sign up. Oh, God, this sounds like a commercial. I don't care. CNN has this thing called Pipeline all day long. What do they have, three or four feeds, Kathy? Four feeds you can go to any time. Jesus, this is the kind of stuff we used to see when I was a writer and a producer at CNN. These are raw feeds that are coming in. After Bush's speech today, I kept the pipeline for that open, and for the next 10 or 15 minutes, watch Bush go down the rope line, shaking hands with people. You could hear conversations, and you could see it was like being 10 feet away from the Secret Service people who were guarding him. It was amazing to watch the expressions on everybody's faces. But I want to tell you something. This pipeline thing, what is it, 25 bucks, Kathy? 25 bucks a month or something? CNN, pipeline. If you're, I don't know, you know, I'm not happy with CNN, what they put over the air. Half the people they have on that network just turn my stomach. But let me tell you something. This is uncensored, uncut, unedited, no executive producer, nobody except you and the camera. It's incredible. Have you all heard about this yet? Pipeline. And they're running four feeds all day long from different stories, just raw feed, no editing, nothing. If somebody calls somebody a mofo, it comes right through. Unbelievable. So I'm sure that Pat Leahy in his statement there, fortunately none of this is on television, so nobody knows what we're saying here on the story. I'm sure that Leahy did know
And, ladies and gentlemen, that segment of the Mike Malloy Show was brought to you by Pipeline, the newest product offered by our friends at CNN.
I'm sorry. I don't do endorsements. I really don't. Well, mainly because no one ever asked me. But I can't even do the cookie stuff at Christmas, you know. Buy Vermont cookies and we'll send you a teddy bear. You know, even Randy Rhodes gets that stuff. But, you know, I can't even get that. You know,
nobody wants to buy cookies from the local comic.
Well, that's it. You know, my endorsing a product on syndicated or well, whatever the hell we are, national radio, is the kiss of death. You know, the account executives at Air America, you know, they say, Jesus, we got this new product, but don't let Malloy near it.
The Prince of Darkness wants you to buy this mattress.
You're right. All right. More. What the hell are we laughing about? The Republic is going in the toilet, and we're sitting here like we sound like Grassley and Harlan.
About that, Anita Hill.
Hey, yeah, that's a good story, wasn't it, Kathy? Let me tell you. You see, this is back in during the Pappy Bush administration, and there was this
long silver,
and there was this guy named Uncle Clarence Thomas, who's down here from Georgia. And they nominated him to be a Supreme Court judge. So this woman named Anita.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, it actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a T-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't.
After using Skin Zinc, it's completely cleared up. Skin Zinc is phenomenal.
I tried Skin Zinc, and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call right now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-507-5896. That's 800-507-5896. Skin Zinc helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5896. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5896.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-28-06. Ricola!
obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
There are 42 members of the United States House of Representatives who oppose the nomination of Judge Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court. And they voted unanimously last week to oppose his nomination. They said that the nominee's judicial philosophy actively opposed civil rights and race discrimination protections. Yeah, yeah, it's the Congressional Black Caucus. Don't you wish Democrats in the Senate could stick together? Oh, never mind. Now, Senator Barack Obama, a Democrat of Illinois, and the only member of the Black Caucus with a vote on Judge Alito's nomination, has not made up his mind. Barack Obama has not. And is scheduled to meet with the nominee this month. Now, both Obama and Representative Melvin Watt, North Carolina Democrat and the chairman of the Black Congressional Black Caucus, said they were angry that the White House refused to allow Alito to meet with them. And after sending a letter to Judge Alito and the White House requesting his presence November 17th, Mr. Watt, Melvin Watt, North Carolina Democrat, chairman of the Black Caucus, said he was told the caucus's request was moot. Doesn't that mean it's irrelevant? Yeah. A couple more emails here, very quickly. This is from Fooge. Fooge? F-O-O-J. Fooge. Fooge writes, I've been thinking about the vital importance of the PNAC documents, Project for a New American Century, and the need to educate the public. In my opinion, if one of our Democratic senators sitting on that committee had asked Alito, quote, are you familiar with the Project for a New American Century? And if so, do you subscribe to their beliefs? I'm convinced that the question would have stopped these hearings right in their tracks. Can't you hear the audible gasps in the room? It would have been a perfect opportunity to empower the American people with some information regarding this maniacal regime's game plan. What do you think the chances are of convincing Howard Dean to run an ad printing the mission statement of PNAC? In my opinion, this is our smoking gun. If PNAC had been mentioned during these hearings, hundreds of thousands of Americans would have been afforded the opportunity to at least learn about who these people are, what their mission is, and what they've done to our country. Well, Fooge, I'm totally in favor of that, but I don't think there's a Democratic senator up to and including Russ Feingold maybe who would ever bring up PNAC. First of all, they understand they would be swift-boated immediately. They would be accused of coming up with wild-eyed right-wing conspiracies. You know, oh, there's this group of Zionists ready to take over the United States. Oh! It doesn't make any difference who's on the board of PNAC. Some of them are American Zionists, some are not. But the Bush crime family is following to the letter what this Nazi organization is all about. How can you be a Zionist and a Nazi at the same time? That's the part that's just astonishing to me. On the other hand, how can you be an Israeli and support the American Christian religious right, knowing that the American Christian religious right wants to cut your throat eventually if you don't fall on your knees and accept Jesus as your personal savior? It's all twisted and sick. But yeah, PNAC, I don't think there's a senator walking the halls who would bring up PNAC, Project for a New American Century. If you're not familiar with what it is, True Seeker, and I'll bet you dollars to donut holes, a lot of liberals or progressives don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about. They have a website. Check it out. So I hope that answers it for you, Fooge. Yeah, it would have been a heart-stopping moment to people who know what PNAC is. But most people who were watching the hearings at that particular point would say, PNAC, why? Oh, God, can't they just get this guy confirmed? And last one here from our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief, Mary Ann. She writes, good evening, Mike. Well, I did my rounds of duly calling various Democratic senators and urging them to stop the nomination of Samuel Alito. Maybe a big waste of breath and phone time, but what else could I do? Helplessly listening to the hearings and to the Democrats' mostly lame questioning of this disingenuous, amoral Bush bot. Aren't most of these guys lawyers? Marianne writes. Why were they letting this man get away with his legalistic stonewalling? I'm not a lawyer, but I could clearly see... No, she's not a lawyer, she's a physicist. But I could clearly see that Alito dodged and ducked his way around the fundamental questions, giving them red herring legalese rather than relevant responses. Alito seemed to remember every minute detail of questions he wanted to answer and couldn't recall anything on questions he didn't want to answer. The Princeton cap flap was a demonstration of his fundamental lack of integrity, whether or not one believes his answer. To Senator Biden's comment on the effectiveness of these hearings, I'd have to say, not very much when someone lies to you under oath, Senator. Alito's performance was for the benefit of the Bushies, who should be very satisfied with their nominee's, quote, regard, close quote, for truth. I was grateful, Marianne writes, that Schumer brought up his obvious bias toward power and privilege, and that Russ Feingold brought up the question of whether the president can assert inherent authority to violate the criminal law. But this was mostly a blown opportunity, speechifying and posturing, and very little examining the motivations behind his regime's pick, and no sense of alarm and urgency among our Democratic senators. The Democrats will refuse to exercise the only power that they have, the filibuster. So the Supreme Court of the United States is gone for us. The only out left for us is impeachment. Could you mention John Conyers' petition tonight? There are only 35,000 signatures, and there should be millions. His website is johnconyers.com. Standing by in horror and disgust, your Aurora Bureau Chief, Mary Ann. Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's. I want to take a few phone calls here. Kirk is calling from Worcester, Massachusetts. Kirk, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. Oh, man.
Hey, Kirk.
I'm very... I'm just so scared of what's going to happen to the country with these dinos in the Democratic Party and how this is helping the Republicans sell this country down the river. I have found out about some Democrats that are running against a few dinos because I heard you talking to a Democrat that was running against a dino.
Right.
Surya Rodriguez is running against Congressman Henry Cuellar of Texas. Oh, man, is he a dino. Voted, you named the Republican vote, he voted for it. CAFTA, torture
really?
Court, reauthorizing the Patriot Act.
Well, if you know how to get in touch, I've said this, anybody in the audience, we'll do our work here, but there's only two of us that put this program together. If you know a way to get in touch with these candidates who are true Democrats, who are running in primaries against these freaky-ass fake Democrats, send us some contact information.
I got some websites for you. Ciro, C-I-R-O.
I'll tell you what. No, don't do this, if you would, Kirk. Just put it in an email and send it to me, okay?
Okay, that's great. Yeah, because there's even two Democrats running against the queen of the DLC, Hillary Clinton.
I'm aware of that. I would love to. As a matter of fact, Kathy's working on getting one of those candidates on. But anybody, including you, Kirk, anytime you have information about, because you guys can check on this a lot more efficiently, apparently, than I can. So if you want to get this information, send it in.
Well, since you get like 900 emails every day, I bet you might not recognize that one email.
Okay, well, send it to me on this guy in Texas, and we'll do our best to get in touch with him, right?
Yeah, I got one about going against Maria Cantwell too, and Mark Wilson.
Well, get him to me. Thanks, Kirk. Thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. David is calling from Atlanta. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, David. Oh, Jesus. All right.
Happy New Year, Mike. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. I was hoping that maybe you had decided never to call the program again, but here you are. So, all right, what's up, David?
Well, I just wanted to call, and I'm just really amazed at how inept your Democrats have been in trying to sabotage this nomination. But moreover, I want to ask you a question. How can the Democrats get their message out more? I would like the Democrats to get their message out. It seems like y'all getting caught in the trap of hate Bush 24/7, but get on your message too.
We don't have a way to get our message out right now, David, because you right-wing Nazis control. First of all, you control the media, you control the airwaves, you control the television, you control the House, the Senate, the executive branch, and now the Supreme Court. Let me tell you something, David. You told me early on in our phone calls that you're a black man, right?
Powerful black man.
Do you know what Alito would like to do to you?
Come on, Mike.
He'd like to stick his hand up your ass, grab you by your tongue, and pull you inside out just for fun.
Mike.
Just for fun. Are you not aware of what he was about at Princeton? That doesn't bother you, does it?
Mike, do you realize?
No, okay.
Mike, do you realize when I first, you just poo-pooed this.
Now, wait a second. I got to take a break, David. I'll talk to you when I come back, but I want to ask you something. Last time you called this radio station, you were all pissed off about Bush's out-of-control spending. And he's made it even worse since that phone call. We'll come back in a minute. We're talking with David, who is a masochistic black man who thinks that if he sucks around white Republicans long enough, he will turn white!
Republicans, a form of suicide.
It's not going to happen, David!
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a Doctor's Night Guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, to put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Whew! Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard, now in 3 sizes at CVS and other stores.
It's about 8:30 before the hour. We're talking with David, who has called in from Atlanta. David, do you speak Chinese?
No, Mike, I don't. The only thing I can say, I think Japanese is konnichiwa, domo.
Well, you better learn Chinese because, you know, your insane president, David, and he's yours, not mine, has mortgaged the country to the Chinese, and the Chinese are soon going to call all the notes due. And you could pass for Chinese, right, David?
No, Mike.
You can't?
Let me just say this. When I started calling you a long time. First time I called you, I was in Walworth, Wisconsin. I think you was on WLS.
Uh-huh.
And during the course of my calls, I said to you that the Republicans, one of those phone calls, the Republicans on a slow march to 60 in the Senate. And they're up to 55 now. And I don't see, if you're going to keep running down the Republicans, as the Democrats are doing, and the Republicans are making a lot of mistakes. Abramoff comes to mind, and boy, what a fool he is. But what are the Democrats doing to win?
David, excuse me. This is not a soccer game, you freak. What do you mean, what are the Democrats doing to win? Are you happy that the march to 60, a veto-proof Senate, is happening? You silly little man, you. Let me tell you something, David. You stand out in a crowd of white people. They're going to get you. There ain't no black folk that are working to turn this country into a Nazi theocracy. There's no black folk doing it. David, are you out of your freaking mind? They're going to make you go back to pit and cotton.
Mike, do you see that I predicted this? Because,
well, Jesus, David, good for you. So what? Let me give you a prediction. Someday, I'm going to die. Woo! All right, David, so what?
Mike.
Let me ask you something, David. How do you like Bush's out of control spending now? It's several tens of billions of dollars worse than last time you complained about it. Does that not matter to you anymore?
Tell me. Yes, it does matter to me. I don't know what's wrong with this president.
Oh,
why
Jesus.
He's spending all this money.
Yeah, but the march to 60 is happening, right, David? Huh?
But, Mike, listen to me, okay?
Oh, sure, David. Yeah, I'm listening. I'm all ears. Go ahead, pal.
What I'm trying to say to you is simply this. You complain. I heard a call listening to you a couple of days ago, and a caller was saying that, why can't we impeach him? And you told me, you moron, we don't have control of the House. And I thought to myself, my goodness, what are you doing? Get control of the House. I mean, I'm just laughing.
Well,
I mean,
we would try. David, we would have control of the House except for two things. First of all, Tom DeLay is such an evil rat bastard from hell. He's totally screwed up the redistricting in Texas and around the country. That's B. You want to know what A is? Black box voting. No offense. Black box voting, David. You can't even get a real election anymore. What the hell is wrong with you?
And so, like I said before, Mike.
Oh, David. David, you make me sad. You really
listen,
do.
Listen to me, Mike.
You make me so sad. And I think
listen
the reason.
To me, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're over the top.
Oh,
okay?
Really?
You're really over the top.
Do you think Iraq on false pretenses is over the top? Do you think that's over the top? Do you think spying on your ass, David, is over the top?
Here we go. You know.
Well, answer the question.
I'm sorry that we don't have time to really go into that.
Oh, David, I'll give you all the time you want, you sorry freak. Do you think an illegal war in Iraq is over the top? Do you think 2,200 dead Americans is over the top? Do you think 100,000 dead Iraqis is over the top? Do you think bankrupting the country is over the top? Do you think denying health care to people like you and people like me is over the top? Come on, David. Do you think gutting the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, eighth, tenth, 12th amendments to the Constitution is over the top? You silly little man, you.
Mike, how many names do you have to call me? I have not called you one name.
Oh, well, but that's because I'm not talking jive nonsense. You can't call me a name because the only reason you call me, David, the only reason you call me is because you're also a masochist and you love this ass kicking you get every time you call in here.
I like
you love it
as well.
You love it. You love it. Beat me, flay me, make me vote Republican. Oh, Mike, I love you. Kick me.
Mike, like I said, the president, you want to say this is an illegal war. The president cannot go and gather intelligence from Madeleine Albright.
What intelligence? David, oh, my God. Oh, you are such
Madeleine
a
Albright,
sick man. Oh,
Bill
my
Clinton,
God. No wonder you can't get married.
From Senate, I am in...
No wonder. No woman would have you. David, I've had enough. I've had enough. Call me again. I don't know. Wait 6 or 7 months.
Been loving you a long time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, David. No thanks, man. I'm sorry. Not there's anything wrong with that. But no thanks, David. I'll catch you on the rebound.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Tina, your face is all red. Are you okay?
I'm fine. It's just hot in here.
Hot? We're in the freezer aisle, Tina. You're having a hot flash.
Hot flash? Menopause? But I'm still getting my period.
It's not menopause yet, but it could be changing hormones. When I got my first flash, my pharmacist told me to start taking Estrovin. Estrovin is all natural and can help reduce hot flashes, night sweats, and irritability.
I'm not irritable.
Right. And you don't need a prescription. It's in the vitamin aisle.
Let's go get Estrovin now.
Hot flashes? It's just your body telling you it's time for Estrovin. Use as directed.
Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets, loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Senators have wrapped up their questioning of U.S. Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. He praised the person he hopes to replace, retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor.
She obviously was a pioneering figure and was an inspiration for many people who want to pursue legal careers and other careers.
Alito vowed to try to emulate O'Connor's dedication and integrity. Alito defended his record and judicial philosophy, saying he would be his own person on the high court. New York Democrat Charles Schumer said he remains very troubled by Alito's judicial record.
It's a record that contains evidence that you believe the Constitution does not protect a woman's right to choose. It's a record that suggests you believe in an executive branch so powerful that it would trump other branches of government.
And Schumer says Alito's record shows that he doesn't help to protect the little guy and usually sides with the large and powerful. Schumer also accused Alito of being evasive in his testimony to the committee this week, and he cannot approve Alito's confirmation. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld sidestepped questions regarding Iran's nuclear program Thursday, saying he'd leave it up to the foreign policy experts. When asked if the U.S. was prepared to take military action against Iran in response to its growing nuclear capability, the secretary refused to answer. On another topic, Rumsfeld said multiple investigations have shown the U.S. never had a policy of torturing prisoners either in Iraq or at Guantanamo Bay.
The investigations turned up nothing that suggested that there was any policy in the department other than humane treatment.
A Turkish gunman who tried to kill Pope John Paul II nearly 25 years ago has been released from an Istanbul prison. He had been serving time for other offenses after his extradition from Italy in 2000, where he had spent 19 years in Italian jails. Nina Marie Potts reports.
Mehmet Ali Agçay shot the Pope as he waved at crowds in St. Peter's Square in 1981. The Pope later visited him in jail and publicly forgave him. The 48-year-old was pardoned by the Italian government 6 years ago and extradited to Turkey, where he was promptly jailed for the 1979 murder of a left-wing Turkish journalist. He was also sentenced for two bank robberies. His release has sparked heated debate in Turkey, where a letter from the daughter of the murdered journalist made front-page news. She called Mehmet Ali Agçay not just her father's killer, but a national assassin. His legal team say he will now work for democracy after a Turkish court ruled last week he had completed his sentencing term. Nina Maria Potts reporting.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. All right, moving from the sublime to the murderous, we have some audio from Bush's obviously well-rehearsed town hall meeting in Louisville yesterday. Town hall meeting. Oh, Jesus. I want you to hear this. And then some stuff from the death's head himself, Rumsfeld, and then your calls. By the way, tomorrow, there was just too much to do. Tomorrow, Friday night, we'll hit the highlights of Bush's incredibly insensitive speech to the people in New Orleans today. It was horrifying. Just horrifying. But first, we want to do some President Chuckle Nuts. This was at the Louisville, Kentucky town hall yesterday, speaking about the war on terror. You know, someday someone is going to make a fortune on a write your own W war on terror speech, kind of like those Mad Lib books that some of you had as kids. We didn't have them. We were too old. But, you know, like it would say, quote, we're going to achieve our mission in, and then you insert the noun. Or the name of one of the axis of evil nations, you put it right there. And bring peace and democracy to the, and then you insert an adjective, a positive description, people of the region. You know, that kind of stuff. All right, let's see how many times Chuckle Nuts can say victory in 40 seconds. You ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Sir, I try to be short and answer your question. I'm getting a little windy, but let me talk real quick about the goals in Iraq. The goal is victory, nothing short of victory. When you put these kids in harm's way, we owe them the best equipment, the best training, and a strategy for victory. And victory is a country that where the Saddamists and the terrorists can't unwind the democracy. Victory is when Iraq is no longer a safe haven for the terrorists. Victory is will be achieved when the Iraqis are able to defend their democracy. In the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about the strategy to achieve victory. It's one thing to say, we want victory. The other thing is, can you get there? And the answer is, absolutely, we can get there.
Oh, my God, you sick little man. What do you say? I'm getting a little windy. That's because too many pork rinds and Jack Daniels. That'll make you windy. Especially when you smear a little mayonnaise on the pork rinds, right? Talk about your Peter fever. He's not just catapulting the propaganda with that little bite. He's knocking it out of the park, right? Right here, Manor Monkey talks about how we've got plenty of troops to achieve the mission du jour, which I don't even know what they're calling it these days. Rid Iraq of weapons? No. Oust Saddam? No. Free the people? We have elections? Constitution? I remember. It's to establish a huge military presence. That's why we're there. That's right. Our military presence. I really would. I try until my forehead bleeds to understand Bush's definition of success in Iraq. We've had a couple of the bloodiest weeks there, and Bush says, things are good. I guess if a few hundred more people die, American people, and a few thousand more Iraqi people, he'll call that fantastic.
And so things are good. I'm confident we'll succeed. And it's tough, though. The enemy has got one weapon, I repeat to you, and that's to shake our will. And I just want to tell you, whether you agree with me or not, they're not going to shake my will. We're doing the right thing.
Oh, God.
You hear a lot of talk about troop levels. I'd just like to give you my thinking on troop levels.
Oh, please do.
I know a lot of people want our troops to come home. I do, too. But I don't want it to come home without achieving the victory.
Yeah.
These troop levels will be decided by our commanders. They hear from me, victory. And I say to them, what do you need to achieve victory?
Oh, you sick bastard. How many times did you say I in that that little exercise in masturbatory fantasy? I'm confident. I repeat to you. I just want to tell you. They're not going to shake my will.
I'll throw every American between the ages of 18 and 50 into my killing machine. I'll murder all you sons of bitches and your sons and daughters, too. They're not going to shake my will.
Of course, not my kids are over there fighting.
I'd like to give you my thinking on troop levels. I know a lot of people want troops to come home. Screw that! Oh, no! They ain't coming home. They're going to die. Gucci victory!
These troop levels would be decided by our commanders. They hear from me. The commanders hear from me.
Victory! Victory, victory is our cry. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. It's terror time. Give me some of them damn pork rinds. Give me one of them damn fish sandwiches.
They hear from me victory, and I say to them, what do you need to achieve victory? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The man is insane. George W. Bush is insane. Now the staged Q&A begins with this question about his spying on Americans. Some poor dude stands up and says,
Your Honor, there's people in our states and there's people that are in D.C. that will take and jeopardize what I feel is our national security and our troops' safety today for partisan advantage. This is what the guy said. For political advantage. They're starting investigation in the Justice Department about how we're looking into this, where these leaks come from. Is the Justice Department going to follow through? And if necessary, go after the media to take and get the answers and to shut these leaks up?
I can understand concerns about this program.
Good!
Before I went forward, I wanted to make sure I had all the legal authority necessary.
Yes, sir!
To make this decision as your president.
I love you!
We are a country of law.
Yeah!
We have a constitution which guides the sharing of power.
Yeah!
And I put that hand on the Bible, and I meant it when I said I'm going to uphold the Constitution.
You know that goddamn piece of paper I was referring to back there a couple weeks ago? I had all the legal authority necessary to make this decision as your president. Torture memo Gonzalez figured out a shady workaround for me where it concerns the Constitution. You know, we're a rule. We are a rule. We have a constipation which guides the sharing of power.
Son of a bitch is insane. Continuing to explain his reasoning about why he's above the law and the Fourth Amendment. You little right-wing nasty asses, when they start to unwind the Second Amendment, then what are you going to do, huh? I love the part here where he says the upcoming hearings are okay by him just so long as nothing is heard.
I have the right as Commander-in-Chief in a time of war to take action necessary to protect the American people. Secondly, the Congress and the authorization. Basically said the president in authorization of the use of troops, ought to protect us. Mm. Well, one way to protect us is to understand the nature of the enemy. Now, there will be a lot of hearings and talk about that, but that's good for democracy.
Yeah.
Just so long as the hearings, as they explore whether or not I have the prerogative to make the decision I make, doesn't tell the enemy what we're doing.
No, that doesn't tell the enemy what we're doing. No, let's keep it secret. Because the enemy's dumber than dog snot, you know? they don't know how to listen in on what we're doing. Only us know how to listen in on what they're doing. You know, they don't know anything. They're dumb. A bunch of camel jockeys, you know, wearing them funny things on their heads.
Guess he wasn't kidding about being windy. Last part of his answer to the illegal wiretapping scandal question. A question here. When did Weak and Stupid become so obsessed with dots? Is that another Peter Fever thing he's supposed to do? It's bizarre. Dots. There's some dots. There's a dot. Almost as strange as how the lemmings applaud him. Even at his most incoherent and idiotic. Dots!
There's a lot of investigation, you're right, in Washington. Which is okay. That's part of holding people to account in a democracy. But at one point in time, the government got accused of not connecting the dots. You might remember that debate. We didn't connect the dots. And all of a sudden, we start connecting the dots to the Patriot Act and the NSA decision, and we're being criticized. Now, you know, I got the message early, why don't you connect dots? And we're going to.
Yeah! Thank Jesus! Oh, you're a godly man, and you ain't going to let the queers marry, are you, Governor? Oh! Oh, Your Honor, connect them dots. Keep them queers back. Keep them queers back. Oh, God, I love you, George. I'm so glad you had this free and open and unbiased town meeting here in Louisville. Oh, you're a godly man. Oh, George. More from this freak when we come back. Stay with us. There's some more.
I want a Big Big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky.
Yeah.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
welcome, but it was not a peaceful welcome.
Why is everybody so afraid of drugs? Man, they afraid of what's a drug going to do to us.
23 past the hour. This is the last one from Chuckle Nuts at the Louisville, Kentucky town hall meeting yesterday. Hi. Let's get some real Americans in here and, you know, just be spontaneous and stuff. You know, we have people stand up and ask me questions and stuff. You know, okay? Would that work? Give me lots of Ritalin. Let me eat some pork rinds and get some of that Jack Black inside me. Woo! Let's go. Let's rock. Hey, I'm ready to rock. I, my will is thy will. Ein Staat, ein Volk, ein Führer. What? Did I say that? I want to know what parent takes a 17-year-old to listen to this political pornography. It's not a 7-year-old? Oh, a 7-year-old. I'm sorry. You know, what parent takes a 7-year-old to listen to political pornography and then prompts the poor kid to, you know, to ask a question? Here Bush tries to match a wits with a second grader. The kid stands here and says,
Mr. President, how can people help on the war on terror?
Now, it's a very spontaneous question from a second grader. That was not a setup.
Mr. President, how can people help in the war on terror?
The whole event looked mega staged, didn't it? More so than Bush's infamous troop talk. But using a little kid like this.
Mr. President! Hi, my name's Billy. I'm in the second grade over here at the school. How can people help in the war on terror?
I expect there to be an honest debate about Iraq and welcome it.
Oh, okay.
People can help, however, by making sure the tone of this debate is respectful and is mindful about what messages out of the country can do to the morale of our troops.
Oh.
It's one thing to have a philosophical difference, and I can understand people being abhorrent about war. War is terrible.
I don't know that word.
But one way people can help, as we're coming down the pike in the 2006 elections, is remember the effect that rhetoric can have on our troops in harm's way.
Rhetoric?
And the effect that rhetoric can have in emboldening or weakening an enemy.
I don't know those words, Your Honor. And besides, you know, I may only be in the second grade, but, I heard my uncle, who was in the Vietnam War, talking about, you know, what the IEDs and the lack of body armor are doing to our soldiers' arms and livers and legs and faces. Your Honor, I'm sorry, I'm just a kid. What is abhorrent? What does that mean? Abhorrent?
So now it's hurting the troops to try to bring them home alive. Yeah. Better to let them complete the mystery mission du jour and keep getting maimed and killed. That's much more helpful, right, George? What a rotten period in U.S. history. What a rotten period. Major General Jeffrey Miller, a central figure in the U.S. detainee abuse scandal, who was to testify in the trials of some of the people that decided that torture and putting dogs and beating people and sexual stuff into POWs in Iraq, or not even POWs, just people who were swept up. He invoked his right not to incriminate himself in a court-martial proceeding against the two soldiers accused of using dogs at Abu Ghraib. Yeah, it's an Article 31, I think. Is that what it is? To sort of like the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It's right there in the Universal Code of Military Justice. And he decided that he just didn't want to testify in this trial. So a Major General, invoked his Article 31 rights and said, well, I don't think I want to testify. He resigned his commission today.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, it actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a T-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc's helped. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you. They don't.
After using Skin Zinc, it's completely cleared up. Skin Zinc is phenomenal.
I tried Skin Zinc, and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call right now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-507-5896. That's 800-507-5896. Skin Zinc helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5896. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5896.
Hey, I just finished our taxes with TurboTax.
Shouldn't we have gone to one of those tax stores?
Well, TurboTax asks me questions just like H&R Block does, and then it puts the answers in all the right forms.
But the tax guy checks it.
TurboTax checks for errors and missed deductions, too.
How do we know it's right?
Calculations are guaranteed accurate. Besides, more returns were prepared with TurboTax last year than at all the H&R Block stores combined.
Huh. If it's so good, how much are we getting back?
Take a look.
Wow.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricetin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricetin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricetin HBP. Use as directed.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
So as reported by today's Washington Post, Major General Jeffrey Miller, central figure in the U.S. detainee abuse scandal, invoked his right not to incriminate himself in court-martial proceedings against two soldiers, yada, yada, yada. Now, this is the guy, this Jeffrey Miller, he's the one who used to supervise Guantanamo Bay in Cuba and then moved to Iraq to set up operations at Abu Ghraib. And it's the first time that this general had given any indication that he might have information that could implicate him in wrongdoing, you see? An attorney for one of the accused soldiers, the torturers, had been seeking to question General Miller to determine whether General Miller ordered the use of military dogs to chew on detainees during interrogations at Abu Ghraib. See, the attorney for these soldiers has argued over and over, and I think anyone with the sense God gave a sack of doorknobs would agree with this. The dog handlers were following orders. The torturers were following orders. The people who brutalized detainees at Abu Ghraib and Bagram and Gitmo and Romania and Poland were following orders. This general's decision to invoke his Article 31 rights, same as Fifth Amendment rights, came after a colonel, Thomas Pappas, the commanding officer at Abu Ghraib, accepted immunity from prosecution this week and was ordered to testify at upcoming courts-martial. Pappas is a military intelligence officer. Boy, don't you just imagine what he's like. He could be asked on trial or on the witness stand to give detail high-level policies relating to the treatment of detainees at Abu Ghraib. Now, this General Miller, this Major General, has been in the spotlight of the Abu Ghraib investigations for a long time, largely because he was sent to the Iraq prison back in September 2003 with the goal of streamlining the operations there, using Gitmo as a model. Officers at Abu Ghraib have said in testimony that General Miller wanted to Gitmoize the facility and that harsh tactics migrated from the Cuba facility via tiger teams that Miller sent to Iraq as trainers. Now, this story is in today's Washington Post. Came out this morning. This afternoon, I understand that General Miller has resigned his commission and is bailing out. And he's not the only one. Jesus, God. So, Rumsfeld, this eater of human flesh, this vampire, was asked a question today. Imagine if Clinton Secretary of Defense, Republican William Cohen, had tried some of the stunts that this sick, sorry Rumsfeld tries. The reporter says, Mr. Secretary, what's your view on Major General Miller's decision to invoke his rights against self-incrimination in connection with Iraqi detainee abuse trials? And is this suggestive of culpability of senior military officers in the abuse at Abu Ghraib and perhaps elsewhere?
You know, there have been something like 12 major investigations of various detainee activities. There have been something like 600 criminal investigations. As I recall, some 250 people have been punished in one way or another. And now what takes place is there are various actions that procedures that people go through. And I'm certainly not going to inject myself into the middle of any one of those particular activities.
You smarmy, sick killer, you. These are your orders. These are your orders, Herr Goering. These are your orders, Herr Himmler. It gets worse. Here's Rumsfeld's answer to a question about Iran. The reporter says, Mr. Secretary, on Iran, is there a military option, or have the Iranians done a good enough job of hiding their facilities, protecting some deeply underground that's taking out their capability the way the Israelis did in Iraq in 1981 simply isn't an option?
I don't think my discussing that subject is useful.
So I shan't. Piss on you, little termites. Kiss on you, little termites. And now my favorite rummy clip of the year, and it's only January, but here it is. Reporter says, Mr. Secretary, there is a new study that suggests the cost of the war in Iraq could run to $1 to $2 trillion when you include permanent lifetime care for veterans and replacement of equipment. Can you just respond to that?
I haven't seen it.
Surely you've got some.
I haven't seen it.
Mr. Bremer's new book, and maybe you've got it, and wonder what your reaction is.
You people ought to get a life. I mean, goodness gracious, the questions you ask.
You people ought to get a life. I mean, goodness gracious, the questions you ask. You freaking termites. I'm Donald Rumsfeld. What are you doing here anyway? What do you think this is? Some kind of place where you get to. You ask me questions and I give you real answers? You want to go enjoy some double fruit and a lemon chicken and a boxcar sauna at Gitmo? You little filthy termites. $2 trillion, Mr. Secretary, when you include permanent lifetime care for veterans. I haven't seen that study. But surely you've got... I haven't seen it. Mr. Secretary, I was wondering if you see Mr. Bremer's new book. You know, the one where he says he asked for more troops and you said no. You people ought to get a life. Now, I'm going to kill you. Next time I hold a press conference, you see this Marine officer standing next to me? Next time I'm going to come out here with a platoon. And if one of you sons of bitches asks me a question like, you're dead. That quick. Huh? RPG right in your chest cavity. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? You people ought to get a life. I mean, goodness gracious, the questions you ask. Not for much longer, though. Scary stuff. Priscilla is calling from Montana. Hey, Priscilla, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Well, I'm a little sort of zonked after watching these Alito hearings for the last 3 days.
Uh-huh. Well, it's over now.
Well, yeah, it may seem to be over, but, you know, it seems to me that there were all these, I don't know, what do they call them in baseball? Strange things being thrown around. Roe, Casey, Kilo.
Runs, hits, errors, what? I don't know.
Yeah. But the point is, really, what this is about is what they want on the court is somebody who will advance the idea of absolute
fascism,
executive privilege.
Right, which is a dictatorship. They can use, Priscilla, whatever language they want. Unitary, my ass. This is dictatorship.
Yeah, but who knows what unitary means, Mike?
Well, I know, I understand.
Ever come up before? It has only come up in the last few days. Who knows what the heck it means? The reality is that the majority of Americans do not want to have the right to abortion denied. I mean, we all have kids who get pregnant. Ha. Kilo, who wants to have their house, what do they call it, eminent domain? Taken away.
Who wants to?
Casey, all these strange cases, and they may have some sort of value in terms of what Americans think about what their rights are. But what it really boils down to is this is a guy who will uphold the right of the executive,
right,
to do whatever it wants under any circumstances, and all the constitutional protections that the American people thought they were entitled to are going to disappear.
Oh, no doubt.
And nobody gets it. I mean, Edward Kennedy's sitting there looking like he's going to have a stroke. But none of these people are sitting there saying, this is what's really important. And I'm not even American, for heaven's sake. What do you think?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I hate the fact that this is happening when I'm alive and I have children and grandchildren who have to experience this after I'm dead. You know, I've got an 18-month-old and I've got grandkids who are 5 and 4, and I've got adult children, and I know fully that they're going to face something in this country that I never had to face, and I won't be here to help them. And that kind of makes me sad. Priscilla, I have to leave it there. Thank you for checking in. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Maloney.
On Air America Radio.
This is Mark Crispin Miller. The world can't wait to drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush gives his State of the Union address, but we can say right now that this union is in a state of emergency. The Bush regime is not conservative. The Bush regime is not American. The Bush regime is radically opposed to the ideals on which America was founded. Reason, free speech, democracy, and the pursuit of happiness. The Bush regime wants to replace all that with corporate domination and religious tyranny. They want a vast police state where there is no argument, no private pleasure, no free thought, not a single tree left standing. This regime is immoral, unjust, unelected, and indictably criminal, and we must stop it. Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, we will protest all across the country and demand that Bush step down. The next Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C., where we'll bring our demands right to the White House. Bush lied, Bush spied, Bush stepped down. Find us today, worldcan'twait.org, 866-973-4463.
for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Let it be, let it be, yeah, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to our production crew again tonight in New York City. The program is engineered by Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac. Associate producer is Dee Neal, who answered your calls and maintains the blog at Mike Malloy, airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall is our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. And thanks to the moderators there who run the message board. Ben Birch archives program, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Thank you, Jim. And Catherine Day, our executive producer. All right. Will is calling from Connecticut. Will, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Will.
Hey, I'm really glad I got on.
Yeah.
I'm calling tonight because I there's all this doom and gloom about the Alito confirmation.
Yeah.
And myself and a lot of people over at Daily Kos really think that we can defeat this nomination, that we can filibuster him and we can win.
Are you a senator?
No, I'm not a senator, but we think we can pressure them. We think this is really a winning issue for the Dems. I mean,
well, if this isn't, there is none.
That's what we're saying.
If this issue is not the one around which Democratic senators rally and challenge these so-called nuclear option freaks in the Senate, whatever, if this is not the issue, then there is none.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, what better time is there with the GOP in scandal, with Bush at 38%? I mean, what better time than now?
Okay, Will, look into your crystal ball. What do you think the chances are or the odds are that the Democrats in the Senate will, in fact, filibuster this nomination and stop it?
Well, how about this, Mike? What if we just filibuster him and block it until we have hearings on the FISA scandal?
Oh, any way you want to structure it. I'm just saying, what do you think the odds are that the Democrats in the Senate will filibuster until whatever, until the FISA hearing, until Abramoff reveals that he was paying off Cheney, you know, whatever. But my question is, I'm trying hard not to be challenging or confrontational here, but truth being, what the hell makes you think Democrats are going to do anything?
Well, I've been listening to what they've been saying, and like Chuck Schumer, you know, he's really not happy. Alito was evasive. He was contradictory. And
every Bush nominee has been evasive and contradictory, and the Democrats have passed them all through.
I know. I was very disappointed about the Roberts confirmation hearings. But
no matter who Bush sends up, you see, the function of the Democrats is to give the Senate Democrats and the Democratic leaders, not all, but most, is to give the appearance that the Democratic Party is an opposition party. It is not. It is the enabling party. You have the dominant party, which is the Republicans, and then you have the enablers. Because most Democrats elected to office would be very happy to see American fascism click into place, because it won't hurt them. You know, fascism, fascism, as long as the ovens aren't built, as long as certain population groups are not forced to wear identifying pieces of cloth and eventually marched into ovens, as long as none of that happens, fascism, oh, heck, fascism can be fun. There's no dissent. There's no protesters. There's no ugliness. Everyone's polite. There's no privacy. There's no anything except just a happy, happy life.
I don't think the Democrats are, they're not going to go for that. They don't want that.
They don't?
I think if we support them enough, if we make enough noise now, in the next few days, I think we could put enough pressure.
Okay, let's do it. I'm willing to make noise. Here, hold on. I'm just being funny, Will.
Oh, it's late.
Yeah, it is late. It is so late. I hope that everybody who knows how to dial a phone will call as many senators as they can on the Democratic side and ask, beg, plead, demand, insist that these Democratic senators stop this nomination. I hope that happens. Will, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a pessimist, but I am no more optimistic about that than I'm optimistic that Cheney will rapture out of here tomorrow.
Well, can I just say one thing?
You can say six things if we can
squeeze. They rush us into war.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to rush us into a monarchy.
Right.
We're not. You know, we're going to do our best. We're not going to let them do it.
Well,
and you know, we're wondering
good. What's
the rush here. Sandra Day O'Connor's not going to. She's not going anywhere really
right.
quick. What's the rush? Why can't we get to the bottom of this FISA, this scandal, before
right.
we make a decision?
I hear you. Good.
So if you guys out there could call your senators and say that, what's the rush?
Good idea. Excellent idea, Will.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. I hope to hear from you again. Take care, okay?
Yeah, good night, Michael. Good talking to you.
All right. Good talking to you. Well, thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
On Air America Radio.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.